Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a wonderful show tonight. We have Deborah Silverman with us, and she's going to be talking about her latest book, The Missing Element. She is an astrologer, and her brand of astrology is a little bit different, but folks, you're going to absolutely love it. So get your pen, your paper, your crayon, whatever it is you need, a comfy spot, sit back, take notes, and then, of course, after the show, you're going to go out and buy that book. Okay, so the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, folks, the question is, are you really ready to? Now, by the way, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, and again, that's from my website, MoniqueChapman.com. You deserve to fall in love with yourself. You, just as you are in your most natural state, this love will allow you to have compassion for other people, understanding why someone is so sensitive or too talkative or shy or too outgoing. Becoming the observer inspires your compassion and nurtures your wisdom for all of us. When we aren't judging ourselves and others, we are more loving. And when we are loving, we take better care of ourselves and the other people on the planet. We are all longing to be loved and understood. It starts with you. My guest tonight is Deborah Silverman. She's part comedian, part psychologist, part astrologer, and all real. She helps people tune into their inner observer to see things that they say and do in a totally objective way. Deborah has been in private practice for over 38 years. She uses astrology and her own system called the Four Elements as tools to help people step into their power. Deborah's mothering approach in understanding and empowering people from all walks of life has earned her international fame and admiration. She's written a book, magazine columns, hosted a radio show, and has a YouTube channel with over 3 million views. Now, you can check her out at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com or TheStarCommunity.com. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you. Wow, that was a lot.
Yeah, I got it out. I am so,
Good job.
I am so grateful to have you. Thank you. I am so grateful to have you on the show. Your book, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition, is absolutely wonderful. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but you're an astrologer for Sting, and he's a pretty important guy. And he's, you know, when I look at his energy, he's not about BS. He's, and that's not belief system. That's the other one. He's real and down to earth. How did you get into astrology to start all this off?
So I was young. You know what? I was fascinated by it since I could remember. I was just doing an article on this. My very first astrology chart, I was living in Detroit in the 60s, and I saw in the Detroit comic strip, just the funnies, a little mm-hmm. ad that said, write here and you'll get your chart. I can't even believe this happened because it makes no sense. And I wrote away like a little girl. I wrote my name in there, my address, and they sent me this chart in the mail. But unfortunately, I must have written the wrong date or they got the wrong date. So I have this vivid memory of being so disappointed. So it came to me very young originally. And then all through high school, I kept everybody's birth dates, and then next thing I knew, I found an astrologer by the time I was 20 who I had my first reading with, and I was like, what? And by that point, I had this natural interest, but I then became a student, a passionate student, and it would have been like, you know, when a kid sits down at the piano and they start playing piano before they've had lessons and they call them a prodigy, that would have been what they would have called me, because I knew, I learned astrology so quickly that I was honestly doing readings by the time I was 21 and getting paid, and I never really had a teacher. So I could say that I started very young, and it was a clear passion, and more importantly, it was my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has it. That's unusual.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's definitely your purpose also to be the psychologist. I looked at your website, the one that is DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com, and I clicked on the day's horoscope, and we're pre-taping this, folks, before January 3rd for you, those of you who are on Blog Talk. And I listened to it, and it's wonderful how you blend astrology and your four elements together. So talk to us a bit about the elements that you have created, the four elements, and how you blend that together.
Well, first I want to say Carl Jung, that people don't know this, the first psychiatrist, Carl Jung and Freud were the ones that originated the word psychology. He was an astrologer. People don't know that. And Carl Jung was quoted to say, if psychology doesn't include astrology, it will be a dinosaur science. Like, it was clearly for him, every session he did, just as I do, he had in front of him a person's chart. So psychology and astrology are best friends. It's a kind of a natural fit, if you think about it. They're both about the psyche. They're both trying to assist people to understand what they say that the function of psychology is to make the unconscious conscious. Like, what am I doing and why do I do it and what's my unconscious sabotager and where's my shadow and all that unconscious stuff that comes through dreams. We go to a therapist and we spill our beans and then they help us identify the patterns. Well, that's exactly what astrology is. You figure out the patterns that keep repeating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then how can I, as a healer or as an astrologer, and I have a whole bunch of certified astrologers that I've trained. So if you go on my website and I look booked, because I can often get booked up, I've got really rigorous training that I put these girls and some men through to figure out how can they help you see your patterns. And then once you see the patterns, and particularly the timing, like there's cycles where we go through life and it's so hard and we think it's our fault. Like, what am I doing? But there's just a predictability that cycles go up and they go down. I think we all know this. We just don't know it. It's back to the unconscious. We unconsciously know it, but we don't consciously have language to say, yeah, you're in Saturn return. If you're 28 to 30 or 58 to 60, you're in a major life change. And what a relief to know that. So you're not feeling like something's wrong. So psychology and astrology are best friends, and timing is the magic of astrology. If I had to say what the purpose of astrology is, because it's such a old science, and there's so much, I don't know what to say. There's a lot of astrologers out there that are doing a beginner astrologer and calling themselves astrology. It takes a while and a good teacher, except for my case, to really get the information. But that's not true, because even in my case, it took me years of doing readings to get to the point now where it's very succinct. I know where to aim, how to help you with your purpose, how to help you with your, like, it's become really a code that I broke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have so much fun.
It, you know, you can see that in the book, The Missing Element. Folks, I need to tell you about this book for a second before we go further. It's a short book. It's about 160 pages, full color, okay? You can really see that these days, full color. And in holding the book, you know, buy the hard copy. Okay, I don't know why, Deborah, I'm pushing your hard copy, because when I was reading this book, I was holding it to my solar plexus, I was holding it to my heart, I was massaging the pages, and folks, it's not just the full color of the book, the information that she shares, which we're going to delve into in a little bit, it makes perfect sense, and it's not put to you in a judgy way, it's just here it is. Here are the facts. And I absolutely love the point where you have us do a little quiz about who we are.
Yeah, that's a really important part of the book, to make it practical so we know who you are and I can help you. You can get the, I don't know if you know this, you can go on my website and I will send you a signed copy with your chart in it. So if anyone wants to have, because you can obviously go on Amazon or the bookstores for carrying it, I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a signed copy with your chart, you just go to my website, Deborah Silverman Astrology, and on the front of my website is Sting endorsing it. Yeah, he loved it. He loved the book, and he gave me a video about it. It was very kind of him.
And the video was excellent. And folks, you know, we want the information, of course, but if you're truly looking to improve yourself, okay.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Yeah, very easy, and she breaks it down so it's just simple, bop, there it is. Now, in the past, Deborah, astrology's kind of had a little bit of a negative rap. Why is that, and how did we get out of that energy?
Did we get out of it? That's good to hear. I didn't even know we were out of it yet. It's because it was the religion. Religion didn't want to give power away to people to not be referring back to their priest or their intercessor, the person that was standing between them and God. So astrologers were very dangerous. It's not to say they weren't being used by kings and they weren't being used in the courts of making decisions and they weren't being used by the higher echelons of the wealthy people, but they just didn't want people. It's so sad. They decided that it was that the devil's work and you aren't supposed to touch God's hand and you aren't supposed to know things and you're supposed to just completely stay in the unconscious state. So astrology is about trying to make you conscious, and religion was trying to put us to sleep to some extent. I mean, I certainly respect religion, but it has a very a natural impulse to give you directions that prevent you from giving yourself direction. Well, what astrology does is it gives you, it's kind of like a sneak preview into your psyche, and then you get to go, oh, I know exactly why I'm doing this, and this is what I have to do next. And that's not according to the religion. They're like, no, you don't know anything. If you don't follow the rules, you're going to get sent to hell or something.
Yeah.
Not made up that story anyway. Yeah, no, we're not going there.
No. Now, pretty early on in your book, you talk about the elders and how we are missing information from the elders. Could you expand on that for me?
Well, Egypt, astrology is the oldest science on Earth. Like, they have the longest records of, particularly of the hieroglyphics that are still being used in the Egyptian tombs and being able to have this transferred to us. So it came through a very ancient source, which would be called our elders. The Egyptians had access to a system that was built from a very high level of intelligence that described where the planets, I mean, it's crazy to think about where the planets were, where the signs are, and how that influences your personality. So the elders, it starts with Egypt, but then it goes all the way to every indigenous culture had, whether it was a chief or the shaman or the hierophant or somebody in their culture that held court or knew how to play in magic, but we've lost that. We don't have elders anymore that tell us wisdom, and I think astrologers are amongst the elders. They're the ones that you go to when you need counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And so my book is about respecting. I have a particular love for the Hawaiian culture, and that is all about the four elements. I have a particular love for the ancient Jewish culture, the Kabbalah. It's a beautiful system, all about the four worlds. The elements were being held by the elders in all the ancient cultures, but our society has disrespected the wisdom base. We use the religious base of the structures, but not the old systems. Even in Judaism, the Kabbalah, which is not traditional Judaism. I mean, it is, but it's, you know, in Judaism, you can't study the Kabbalah, which is the Jewish mystic, until you're 40 years old. They wouldn't even let you come into the conversation. And, of course, it included astrology. Any mystic, anyone that was of an elder or a shamanic consciousness, knew that there was a whole other reality we couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to value the idea of death or past lives or stars. And that wasn't mysterious or it wasn't considered woo-woo. It was normal to the shamans. But that's only the elders that would know that. The younger spirits, the younger souls are scared. You know, people get scared of this woo. I used to be scared of the woo-woo stuff. Like, how do you know it's real?
Mm-hmm.
40 years later, I've actually been doing this for 40 years. I now know without a shadow of a doubt that there's a magical pattern that's in the universe that once the code is broken or someone can explain it to you in English, not in abstract terms, you're going to go, oh, now I know why I talk so much, or now I know why I don't talk, or like in your case, you're very blunt, you have fire. Now I know why I'm so honest and I tell people the truth, and when that quality is accepted and you become comfortable in your own skin, wow, then you become an elder. It's kind of simple.
You know, it's interesting that you just brought that up about that I have to fire, because I did take your little test, okay? and I took the test before I actually read the book. And I was saying, okay, I'm a Cancer. I'm a water sign. So I'm water, okay? And then I read the book. I took the test. And it turned out, I'm going to share my scores. Don't beat me up too badly. I'm going to share my scores. Water was 7.5. Air was 5. Earth was 7. And fire was 5.
Oh, you're low on fire. That's interesting. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah.
So you don't like. So you don't work out. You don't have a lot of physical energy.
Oh no. Oh, work out. Oh no. No, the more mental energy these days, and with health issues, it's almost impossible to do that. But interesting. It was interesting how with the fire, you know, I could be very vocal and
blunt.
I do speak my mind, and I speak it as I see it. Yeah, I am, and I've been criticized for it all my life, but you know what? It's me, and if it's a shadow side, well, then that's fine, because I've learned to embrace who I am. So how can we, first of all, talk a little bit more about the four different elements and how we can embrace the shadow and the light side.
Great question. Okay, so here's the four personality types. Water, which clearly you're Cancer. Water is the sensitives in the world. They cry easily. They get their feelings hurt easily. They feel the invisible. They know energy. They don't. It's like this whole spiritual thing is a natural fit. There's probably lots of you listening if you love this metaphysical conversation. Water is a people that are reclusive. They tend to be nonverbal. They like to be alone, and they love to be with people they love, and they're animals and little people, but they're not crazy about lots of people. It's so funny. I'm just meeting this new friend of mine who's so much water, and he's always like, who's going to be there? they just want to be in a small space where they can feel their comfort zone, because they take on other people's energies, and they're empaths, and they cry easily, and they get stomach aches, and they eat too much, and they get addicted because they feel so uncomfortable being around people. Well, that's very different than air. Air is the second category. They're talking, and they're thinking, and they're verbal, and they're funny, and they change their mind. They're airheads. They can't remember where their keys are. They can't remember where they put things. They tend to move really quickly, and they have an incredible gift of friendship and relationship, but they're indecisive, and they don't know what they want to be when they grow up, and they're reading, and they're listening to podcasts all day, and they're on Facebook, and all this is, like, fun for them, but they tend to be in their head rather than the first category, which was so in their body. They were so in their emotional body that was so sensitive. That's why they didn't want to get up, because water people don't like to work out because they are feeling too much all the time. Mm-hmm. And then the third category is earth. And they're the practical people. They're super grounded in numbers and letters and being able to get things done and execute and pay for things and organize. They love to go to Costco and buy things on sale and get the cleaning supplies and move the furniture. When they put the forks away, they say, put the forks up when you put them in the dishwasher. Like, they have this very strong, practical side that is steady and stable, and they don't like change, but they're the ones that work really hard, and they're super good at getting shit done.
Okay.
And then the last category is fire. And fire is like the super excited enthusiast who's like, you know, loud and blunt and honest, and they have incredible chi, and they have this funny sense of humor. They think everything's funny. They have like a spirit, a very strong spirited fire. And they tend to be a little bit too much at times, like there's no volume knob, and they tend to be a little bit too, eat too much and party too much and spend too much, and then they get in trouble, and they have a temper because they get all fired up. So they're the ones in our society that require, like, arguing about things and standing up for the cause, and so that's their gift. And, of course, they all have their shadows. I just gave you the upside. That was all the positive. Yeah, but they all have shadows, and then the point of the book is, which you discovered, is you take that test and find out what's your low score, and then you go read the chapter on the missing element, whichever was your low one, and then you grow that element. And the analogy that I make is, if you imagine there's four wheels in a car, water, air, earth, and fire, and one of the wheels is low, then the whole car goes off. And we can't figure out in life, like, why don't I have my get up and go, or why am I a workaholic, or why can't I stop talking? Well, because you don't know how to do water. You forgot to be quiet, or the quiet one didn't have fire and she forgot to get up. So it's not an easy fix. You have to grow the element that's unnatural. So that's the tricky part.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Deborah Silverman. She is the author of The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. You can check her out on one or two of her websites, and that's DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com or TheStarCommunity.com. Deborah, in your book, you talk a lot about, you know, who we are within these four different elements, and you say that right now we're in a state of crisis. What do you mean by that?
Oh, come on. You know exactly what I mean by that.
Oh, my God. But enlighten our audience. Because, I mean, we've got world consciousness crisis. We've got crisis here in the United States. It's like, oh, my goodness, sometimes I just want to bury my head and not pay attention. But you can't. So pay attention, okay, and take action. But there's so much crisis, and then that even boils down to family crisis and then personal crisis. So why are we in so much crisis, and what can we learn from the crisis that
okay. Okay, that's a much better question. Okay, so we all agree. There's no conflict there. There's no indecisive. Whatever side of the politics you're on, whether you're open or not, everyone knows we're in a crisis. And that's what my book, the first chapter, I think the second chapter is all about. So why are we in a crisis at this point? Well, it's the prophets. They predicted this, that we are coming into an era where evolution has reached, I mean, it's kind of cool. We're on a phone right now, we're doing a radio show, and you're recording it, and then they're going to go home, and they're going to put it on a computer, put little things in their ears, and our grandmothers couldn't do any of this.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as a computer. I was just saying to a friend yesterday, do you remember not having computers? It wasn't that long ago for me in my 60s. It wasn't such a far-off cry that we didn't have this. So crisis, so many people, 7.5 billion, everyone you've ever known is here. Like, mm-hmm. Really, think about it. There's not one human soul that has been floating around that's not showing up. Two,
wow.
They're all consuming food, air, breath, oil, gas, what you name it. We're all consumption machines. And the earth has only so much to give, let alone so much to, you know, preserve. She doesn't have much left to preserve. So she's, the earth herself, like, ow. And then we have this thing called the oil. We work in a system where we eat animals to the tune, I just read today, there's like 44 billion animals that are killed a year. I can't stand the thought
wow.
of it. It was ridiculous, the number. Look up Leo D, whatever his name is, a famous actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did a whole thing this week on the amount of animals that are being killed. I don't eat meat, but if you, like, those animals, forget about killing them, they're giving off these gases. The point is, the consumption is out of control, and there's no intelligent eldership that would say, let's think about the next generation, let's think about seven generations ahead, what are we leaving them? So we're in crisis. This is not debatable, but the better question is, was this predicted? Yes. Did we know that there would come a time on Earth that we would reach this critical number where more mm-hmm. people were here than ever before? And are we doing anything about it? No.
No.
That's the short answer. I mean, we're not. We're doing electric cars. That's not to say no. I shouldn't say that. I do research from time to time about what the futuristic styles are, like how are we going to deal with the cars and the oils, and what are we going to do about animals and eating the food? Mm-hmm. It just seems that we're at a critical moment of making a decision. And so the book is about, in crisis, what do you do? Like, if you obviously are a communicator. Your promise was to get on the radio and make us think, and you will provoke us. Well, that's a major role. Someone has to educate us. And then my role is to be able to do healing. You know, I think you do that too, from what I understood. Mm-hmm. People come to see me, and I and all my certified astrologers, they shift people's energy to get them. I love what you said at the beginning of your talk. Like, where's your blocked energy?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually in your body. Some of it's your mind. But if you're not moving energy through your body, you're either not having sex, or you're not exercising, or you're not going in the water, or you're not eating healthy food. You're part of the problem.
Right.
So there's a whole host of things we can do as an astrologer. The part I love about my job is I start fires. Like, I get people going. Like, they hang up the phone, and they suddenly go out, and they put red lipstick on, and they put on a nice dress, and they're like, I haven't done this in 300 years. I'm like, yeah, that's why you haven't had sex in 300 years. get dressed up. Like, someone needs to see your life force. So it's simple as, we're in crisis. It was predicted. Mm-hmm. Your contribution is very important, not to be understated at all, mm-hmm. and it's dependent on your believability. You have to believe in this. that we're at this point in time, and you came here because you were going to agree to help us make the transition into another era of consciousness. We are at a critical, very critical moment. Whether we'll survive or not is in question.
Yes, I definitely.
Who, you know, do we ever talk about that? Like, we are, this is a make it or break it. And your presence on Earth, and you're listening to this radio show, you have an interest in metaphysics. We need you. Please talk.
Well, it's important to talk. It's also important to take action. But I think so many people are paralyzed today for whatever reason that they don't know what to do. You just said everybody has a contribution to make. But you, I talk to people in my work, and they're like, I have no idea. And then you ask them the deeper questions for them to think, and it's like the inability to think has escaped them.
Yeah. Well, it's not, it's all it takes. That's why I love my school. And in February, you, in January, we're starting, the cart opens. But the thing I love about my school is all these women. It's like my favorite part. I feel like a drug dealer. They come in to the class. It's a six-week class. It's an hour and a half once a week. And you go online. We made it so simple because I'm a little bit technically retarded, so I needed to make sure this was super easy because that's what happens when you get older. We don't know how to do all those buttons. But I made it so easy. You're in a class with 10 other people and one mentor. And they use your chart to study off of. So you actually study yourself. And you ask that question, what am I here to do? Like, give me a directive. And they give you direct your chart. It's so cool because instead of me telling you what to do, once you learn astrology, you're like, oh, I always wanted to go work in a garden. Or, oh, I always wanted to go sing, and I just gave it up. I forgot about my fire. Oh, my God, I stopped exercising when I was so young. And I'm like, what? Well, you're gonna, you can't. Listen, I'm getting older, too. If you don't move energy through your body, you are going to get sick. Hello?
Yep.
Kind of simple.
Yep.
So what the class does, why I love the school so much, is I get to watch these women. It's such a crazy game. They come in looking one way, and they leave, like, they fall in love with their husbands, and then they find themselves getting to lose weight, and then they find themselves suddenly with a group of women all together starting to do readings, and they're making money. Like, you can learn within the first course is 6 weeks, the second course is 6 weeks, and at the end of the second course, you can start doing readings. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And your certification process?
That's
how
the third course.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another. Well, that one's only like 3 or 4 days. You come and work with me personally, but then you have to go do readings, and it becomes, you have to send in your readings, and we get to see. Some people, I swear, they are natural teachers. So that's the other part. We do teach people to teach. That's another way that if you go through the program and you say, you know what, I don't want to work one-on-one, but I just love this stuff, and I want to teach it, then we hire you to teach it. We hire the students back after if they have the skill set, because I'm all about quality control. I can't do anything, you know, I'm one of those people. Yeah, it has to be really, really good or I won't play.
And I don't blame you. I mean, that's, you know, that's you.
Yeah,
that's
really.
You're representing who you are.
That's why you love the book.
Like, yes.
I poured myself into that thing.
You did. You truly did. I mean, and folks,
I won't tell you that it took 20 years. I'll just leave that out.
Well, you know, the masterpiece is done, and it's out.
I know. It's done.
And it's called, folks, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. You can get a signed copy at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com and TheStarCommunity.com. Or if you don't want the signed copy, go on Amazon. Get the hard copy. You need to feel the energy of this book. You need to hold it. You need to fondle the pages. I know that sounds weird, but...
No, I feel the same way. I swear, I'm so glad someone else... You're obviously intuitive. I really do. That book just smells good.
And it's soothing. So if you're having a crappy day, okay, last Friday wasn't one of the best of my days, and I've got, like, no exaggeration, 1,500 books in my library, no exaggeration. And what I did was I went and I got Deborah's book, and I just held it. I held it on my solar plexus. I didn't open it. I just held it on my solar plexus. And within, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour, because I also had the TV on, which was not the best thing, but I had the TV on. And 45 minutes to an hour later, I put the book up, I got up, and I went on about my day. So, you know, everything is imbued with energy. Everything is imbued with energy. And if you can pay attention and just, like, let go of the distractions and pay attention to your own energy, it truly helps. Now, Deborah, you talk about we learn from pain. And I've been preaching this forever, and people are like, no, Monique, you're crazy. How and why do we learn from pain?
Oh, God. That's what I've been saying for years. Why do we have to learn? Like, I scream at God. Why do we have to learn from pain? I don't know the why, I can't answer, but mm-hmm. the how is very simple. The how is simple. You have to ask yourself this question. What are you trying to teach me? And then listen. It's just what you just said about energy. Like, I am, once you get past 60, you know, that this is, you know, older people, your body starts.
I'm way past. I'm in the middle.
Well, then you know. The body starts to scream. I want attention. It's like a little kid. Like, I want your attention. And mm-hmm. if you don't give it your attention, it screams louder. So the simple answer is what we do to help ourselves. How do we take responsibility for this physical plane? Well, mm-hmm. guess what, guys? Pain is the primary teacher. I hate to say it. It seems to me now that I'm at this level, like, isn't it obvious that pain is when your biggest mm-hmm. lessons have happened in your life?
Exactly.
When your heart broke, when your finances broke, when you lost your job, when your dad died. Like, oh my God, you find out who your friends are, you find out what's important to you, everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say to people is, it sounds so spiritual, it kind of bugs me, but you have to embrace the pain, and it will pass. And when you're at the juiciest, most intense part of it, you ask yourself this question, what are you trying to teach me? Now, it's not easy to do in the middle of the pain, but it would become your gift. What are you trying to teach me? Just keep asking that. And then you be honorable, and you listen, and you journal, and you write it down. You don't just do this as a flaky kind of spiritual, schmiritual thing. You actually journal, and you listen to your body, or you go get a good counselor, like what you're hearing here. Monique, like, you find someone, you say, can you help me here? I can't quite get it. And then they'll ask you the hard questions and get the conversation going.
Well, what about the people who are in the pain? Say someone has passed away, okay? Let's take a brother-sister situation. Someone's passed away. And Allie, if you're listening, this is for you. The brother has passed away. They had an off-and-on relationship. Deciding to stay stuck in the pain instead of having the courage to ask themselves those questions. How can one help themselves to become unstuck?
No. If they are stuck in the pain, they're not asking. You're asking the question how you can help your friend. But we have to all be honest. It happens to me too. There's phases where you're in pain and you really don't want out because it would be dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's 3 years. They have to live in their broken record, like my husband. You won't believe what he did to me. And then you're like, how long did you get divorced? Oh, that was 2 years ago. Why are we still talking about it? Because I can't uh-huh. believe what he did. And you, and as a therapist or a healer, because I have a master's in clinical psychology, all I can say to them is, oh, first I say, well, you don't want to work with me because I'm too blunt and honest and I change people's lives. So I'll just say to them, you know what? You're clearly still in pain. And it obviously is serving something. And I might say to them, is there anything it's serving? Is there any payoff? What's the payoff for you to be in pain? Well, I don't have to go date anybody, and I don't have to think about the future. I could just stay right here and review. I said, okay, well, that's honest, so good for you. But just be clear that some people, honestly, they can only move so much in life. And don't be making them feel judgmental or being bad because they don't have the motive. Because you guys listening to this podcast, you have an appetite. You want to learn, or you wouldn't be listening to Monique. But there's people that don't listen to these podcasts. And they don't want to get out of their pain, believe it or not. They say they do, but their actions say something completely different. So don't argue with the truth. You're just going to lose.
Yeah, and you got to be conscious. I mean, you know, folks, she doesn't mention it in a book that I remember, but, you know, if you meditate, you know, and meditation would be something as simple as just being quiet for 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be, you know, this big thing. But if you can come into yourself, it's going to be really important. And we're speaking with Deborah Silverman. Her book, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion from the Human Condition for the Human Condition, website. Deborah Silverman, astrology.com, thestarcommunity.com. You can get
the autograph. We haven't talked about the Star Community. I'd love to.
Yeah, we're going to get there in a couple minutes. As soon as we get finished talking about The Observer. It's, folks, get the book, get the hard copy. It's going to be wonderfully
your new best friend.
Yes, and it will shift your energy. Now, about that Observer, you know, a lot of people are, you know, going around and they're having so much judgment on themselves and others. Why is it important to become just the observer without putting extra energy onto it? How is that going to help us?
Kindness. The Observer. Let's talk about The Observer, because it's just a word, but it's got a very ancient resource through metaphysics. Right, Gurdjieff was the first person that taught me this way when I was young. So The Observer is the part in all of us that you could call it your soul. It's just watching you, like, do it right now. So you put your observer on, so it sees where you're sitting, it sees what colors you're wearing, it sees where you are right now, it sees your computer, it sees you sitting, and it just notices. There's no judgments from the observer. It just pays attention, like, oh, it's interesting, it's what day it is, and look at your wearing, and just takes a breath. It's kind of like a meditative state, like, oh, there I am. And the observer doesn't have any agenda. It's a genuine, curious, fascinated part of your psyche that's waiting for you to activate it. Because what the observer does is it just lets you notice parts of your personality, and from that place of non-judgment, it becomes a relaxed state. When you don't have the observer on, you feel anxious. That's the clue. You feel like you're not getting it right. You feel like you're innate. You're not capable. You're less. You know, all the judgments. The clue with the observer's on is there's a calm. There's usually a little bit of a smile, like, oh, my God, there she goes again. She's talking again. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, there she goes. She's cleaning again. You observe yourself. You're like, yep, I'm on the radio again. And you don't judge it. Now, if you can get the muscle really well-worn where you can just look at yourself, this is what happens to me. So I'm in the middle of a relationship problem, and I am captured by the moment because I'm so and then my observer kicks in, and I go, Deb, you're in a movie, honey. Please calm down. And this person's doing the best they can, and so are you. And please don't. And I'll say thanks. My observer kicks in right in the middle. Now, you don't want to use this when you're making love. The last thing you want when you're making love is someone's observer to kick. Like, that was just dumb. You're interrupting everything. I'm trying to have fun. Now I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But you want it on when you're in the middle of a fight. That's like a powerful posture, like to suddenly stop time. Mm-hmm. And turn to your best friend or someone you're fighting with and just say, you know what, this conversation is going nowhere. My observer's on. I'm just watching us in a movie. And we look like two, it's like you suddenly have a pause button.
Okay.
And that particular muscle called pause is liberating beyond measure. It's what lets people not react, not judge, not attack, not be violent. Like it takes a breath, but it's a muscle. And that's what, when you talk about meditation, and I, by the way, I have a free meditation on my website. If you ever guys don't know how to meditate, you can just go to my website, and there's under products, and there's a free one you'll download right in your computer, and you can use it again and again. Meditation is part of the observer, like, oh, I just stopped and turned on my observer. I'm not captured. I'm not reactive to the moment. And I think we've all had this experience at some point in your life, like, you know, when someone dies and you get the phone call and you're scared out of your mind, like, oh, and suddenly you're watching yourself from a distance. You're like, whoa, I'm so scared. That's the observer.
Well, that's interesting, because that kind of happened when my mom passed away 5 years ago. I was not present when she passed. I was home and got the call from the nursing home. You know, well, we think she's going to, you know, leave us in 5 minutes, and I'm an hour away, so there's no way I could get there. So I said, well, please, you know, I gave them instructions, and I said, please call me, you know, when she's made her transition. So in about 8 minutes, they called me back, and, you know, they said, made the transition, all that, and I took care of whatever needed to be taken care of. And then I asked my oldest son to come sit with me, just sit with me, because I was a little, not scared, but just uneasy, because I figured she would want to contact me in some way, and I wasn't open to it at the time. So I asked my oldest son to come sit next to me. He did, and about 5 minutes later, he's brushing both of his ears, like, what is this? What is this? What is this? And I said, well, what's wrong? He goes, there's a big spider web in my ear. And I said, well, that was Grandma talking to you. So whatever me to know, she went and told him. But he was like, you know, he didn't want to understand what it was, but I got it, you know. And I'm like, okay, Mom, thank you. And I just kind of, like, let it go. But I wasn't really, you know, in that state of being fearful anymore. It just brought a calm over me. So it's amazing how things can affect you.
And that was less of your observer. That's more magic. That's the observer does kick in at that moment when the phone call comes in and you suddenly lose your breath and you're like, oh, and then you watch yourself. You know the feeling, you've watched yourself. Like suddenly you're staring at yourself from a distance. You're like, oh my God, I can see. I can remember when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, exactly where I was, the phone rang. Like, that's the observer. It's a heightened state. I mean, it comes in extreme circumstances because we don't know how to feel, so we let ourselves go to a higher state. But it'd be wonderful to learn how to sustain the observer, especially in the middle of a fight. So imagine a Republican and Democrat in a room together, and they're just, wah, rah, 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 no, my way, your way, not. And then suddenly someone says, can we just take a moment, turn on our observer, and just see ourselves from a distance, like we're human,
mm-hmm.
we're arguing, we're captured by this moment, let's take a moment breath, and let's try to find kindness. I guess the short answer is the observer's kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kindness, not being judgmental of self. But
exactly.
Folks, get the book. You'll learn a little bit more. So, Deborah, talk to us about the STAR community. Folks, you can check it out at thestarcommunity.com. But what is it, and how is it going to help us?
So it was my way, because the school is a long commitment. It's 6 weeks, and you really have to be committed. This was like the shortcut. Like, let's say you want to learn astrology, but you don't have the bandwidth or the time or the money. This is $22 a month. Every month you're going to get a full moon video, a new moon video, an interview with someone famous. This month it's going to be Sting's wife, Trudy,
mm-hmm.
Capricorn. Every month there's someone. I did Christiane Northrup. You probably know her from, she's been on Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Like each month of that sign, I interview someone. And then there's a montage. This is the part I really love that's available. And you watch the montage. And it describes the sign for about 7 or 8 minutes. So it's a deep entrance once a month. You go on this website. There's a community of people who are all interested in learning astrology, but at a very fun level. And you become part of a community, and you're studying the stars, and you're learning every month, when is the new moon, when is the full moon, oh, it's going retrograde Mercury, which it is right now, oh my goodness, we have a big shift happening in the planets, like get this, the week that Jupiter went into Scorpio for the first time in 12 years was
mm-hmm.
the week that all the secrets came out about Me Too and this whole effort for women to have their voices be heard. And so Jupiter's the planet of luck, and it went into the sign, or blessings, it went into the sign of Scorpio, and all the secrets came out about sexuality. This is the first time in 12 years this happened, and the society reflected it so loud.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn that. You learn, like, oh, my God, Jupiter's coming into Scorpio. What does it mean? And then you watch a little short video. It's kind of like a very simple way to learn astrology every month. And by the end of the year, you'll know all 12 signs, because I'll have gone through all 12 signs by the end of the year.
Okay. And that's
it's like a membership site.
Okay.
$22 a month.
$22 a month. And, again, that website is
thestarcommunity.com.
Okay. Deborah, you know, our time is almost up here today, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. What pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience?
I would just say to you guys, listen, there's only one of you. You don't have to be normal. Give it up. That's just a setting on the dryer. There's only one of you. Everyone else is taken. So just do you. Be you. And let yourself remember that you promised to come here. Even if you're feeling like, I hate this planet, or I feel so sad, or I feel so happy, and I feel guilty for feeling so happy, all those range of feelings,
mm-hmm.
the truth is you came here with an assignment, and you're doing much better than you think. And if you want to learn more about who you are, you really want to get to the magical answers, come to my website and just look about astrology and realize that all you got to do is just be you. It's kind of simple.
Okay, and folks, you're never too old to learn. I discover
never
something.
Never too old to have a happy childhood.
Exactly. Every day. You can rewrite the script. No matter what happens, you can rewrite the script. Well,
that
Deborah,
is the truth.
Deborah, I want to thank you for being with us today, and the audience for being with us as we collectively get over it and learn about the four elements in astrology. I'm truly honored, and I appreciate your time and attention. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And love yourself enough to make the investment in yourself and go to thestarcommunity.com and sign up for the $22 a month course, okay? $22 is not going to break you, and you'll get a lot of information. And please remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.